I'm clicking, but... And then he says, is it on, Jeff? There. I will be with you. Genesis 26, just five verses this morning as we look at this passage together. Let's pray and then we'll study. Lord, thank you for bringing us together this morning that we can fellowship. We look forward to the fellowship in a little while that we'll have together and the food we'll have. And Father, but at this time, I pray you would direct our eyes to your word that we might see these verses are right here in front of us. I pray you would work in our hearts to see what you would want to teach us about who you are and what we should be like. Father, we just give this time of preaching to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Genesis 26 verse 1 says, now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, and the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So what I'd like to do is just walk through these five verses with you, make some observations, and then I have three points of application at the end. So verse 1, now there was a famine in the land. And when this is not a surprise, it shouldn't be a surprise. Here's a person, his name is Isaac. He is chosen by God to bring blessing into the world as his father Abraham was. But just because you follow God, just because you're called of him and trusting in him, does not mean that there will not be hard things and suffering will happen. Abraham, the man of God, God calls him out in chapter 12 of Genesis. And right away in that same chapter, there's a famine that comes into the land that Abraham and his family group, they have to endure and make decisions about. And we see it here with Isaac in 26. We'll see it also in Jacob's time. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, these first founders of Israel, they are called by God and yet they suffer. There's a time of famine in Jacob's time where his sons have to go down to Egypt and bring the food back, and we'll talk about it when we finally get there. Also in the book of Ruth, the book of Ruth opens, so there was a famine in the land. And this lady and her husband and their sons, they leave, and they go to Moab, but that's where Naomi's son finds Ruth. And they come back to Bethlehem. They come back to the place of God's people. But the reason that they left and the reason that really the book of Ruth happens the way it does is because there was a famine in the land. There was this time of suffering. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. And the more you read the Bible, you know the Philistines were a dangerous group of people. There were some bad dudes over there, right? Wasn't one of them almost 9 feet tall? This big Philistine guy named Goliath. Isaac, he went to Gerar to Abimelech. Verse 2, and the Lord appeared to him, Jehovah God, the creator who is here called Jehovah. He's the gracious covenant-keeping God. He makes promises with people and he keeps them. That's the idea of Jehovah, that he makes a covenant. He pledges himself to Abraham and to Abraham's children. And if you have trusted in Jesus Christ this morning, that makes you spiritually a child of Abraham, that you have trusted in the Lord just as Abraham trusted in the Lord. And you're trusting in him. And he says, so you've been grafted into this family, that you know the Lord. He makes a covenant with you. In fact, Jesus says, I'm making a new covenant. And it's not where you bring sacrifices and offerings every week to a temple or a tabernacle. But God says, I'm sending my son Jesus, and he's going to be the sacrifice. And it's in his blood that you're going to have a covenant with God. That if you trust in him, then God says, I will forgive you of your sins. I will bring you into my family. You will have a home in heaven with me forever. You'll have the Holy Spirit living in you, helping you, guiding you. That's this new covenant that God promises. And we see how we can learn about God and the way he makes covenants and he keeps them right here in verse 2. The Lord, this covenant-keeping God, appeared to Isaac. And here's what he says. Do not go down to Egypt. Remember, when we go back to Genesis 12, God calls Abraham, and as soon as there's a famine, Abraham says, I'm out of here. I'm going down to Egypt. And here God says to Isaac, I don't want you to go to Egypt. You go down there, they worship false gods, but they have a lot of nice things, right? And they got these big temples and these big pyramids, and they've got all this gold. Plus, it's a fertile land with the Nile River there and the crops that they're growing. You don't need to go down there. I mean, it made sense. Isaac was like, this sounds like a great, not just a vacation place, but let's just move there. And the Lord says, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. And this reminds me that Abraham, when he was sending his servant to find a wife for Isaac. Remember, he tells his servant, do not take Isaac back home to where my people are. And just, if you can find someone who will come back with you, let's do that. But I don't want my son leaving the promised land. He just needs to stay here where God has us. And so the Lord reinforces that with Isaac. He says, dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. This is what God did with Abraham. He says, leave your land, Ur of Chaldees, over there in Babylon area, modern Iraq. Abraham, I want you to leave there, and I will show you a land. You think about that. Abraham, when he left his home and he left his family, he couldn't go on, like, vacations.com and see the promised land. There were no pictures like Google Earth. That didn't exist yet. He really had to trust God that he was going to lead him to a good place where God was going to bless him. And here, God tells Isaac, this is the land I want you to stay in. Verse 3, sojourn in this land. Stay here. What he's saying to Isaac is, you are right where I want you to be. You are where I want you to be. If I want to move you someplace else, I'll let you know. I can guide you. I guided your father Abraham here. Now I want you to just stay here. Dwell in this land. Sojourn in this land until he shows you otherwise. And then get this promise, and I will be with you. You're like, but there's a famine. It's hard here. It'd be easier somewhere else. And the Lord says, no, you sojourn. You stay here where you are, and I will be with you. So which would you rather have, a vacation to Egypt or the Lord's presence in your life? The Lord right here guiding you, blessing you, helping you. He says, I will be with you. Do you have your Bible, right? Or even if you have your phone Bible, that'll still work. Genesis 28:15. Now we're coming back to 26, Genesis 26. But look forward with me. Genesis 28 and verse 15. The Lord says to Jacob. Now, this is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He says to Jacob in verse 15, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to the land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised with you, or what I have promised you. He says, I am going to be with you. Everything that's going to happen with me in your life, that presence of God in your life. How about Exodus chapter 3? Exodus 3 and verse 12. So hundreds of years go by, but there's another Israelite that God is going to promise his presence to. His name is Moses. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, he said to Moses, but I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Because remember, he says, I want you to go down to Egypt. All the people are down there now. I want you to bring them out. Bring them back to this land, this promised land. And Moses says, well, I don't think I can do that. And God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. All right, how about Deuteronomy 31? So a couple more. Deuteronomy 31, and I have verse 8. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8, where Moses calls Joshua and says to him, be strong and courageous. You shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give to them, and you shall put them in possession of it. In verse 8, 31, 8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. Like Joshua, you're young. You're just starting out. The people don't trust you the way they trust Moses. But good news, the Lord will be with you. He's going with you. All right, last one I want to show you is in Hebrews chapter 13. So now you're going all the way to the New Testament. New Testament towards the back. Hebrews 13. So God said to Isaac, I will be with you, and Jacob, I will be with you, and Joshua, and the people of Israel. And that's all nice, but what about us? Where does this apply to us? And here it is in Hebrews 13. Verse 5, he says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's a whole sermon right here in this verse. Because he says, don't put your love and your passion into money and things. And you say, but what if I don't have enough? What if I run out? What will I do then? And then the rest of the verse says, because I will never leave you or forsake you. Do you see? There's a whole sermon here. I'm holding back. I'm going to hold back, all right? Don't love money. What should you love? Or who should you love? Him. Because money will, it'll fly away. You'll save up money for something, and then you're going to need a car repair or your refrigerator breaks. And you're like, what? That's not what I want to spend my money on. You need new tires. Ugh. Okay? That money just flies away. The Lord says, I will never leave you. That's, you want to put your love in him. Okay, got to move on. That's a different sermon. All right, back to Genesis 26. Because the Lord promises to Isaac, I will be with you. So let's flip back. Genesis 26, verse 3. I will be with you and will bless you. How will he bless him? For to you and to your offspring, I will give all these lands. Now, right now, Isaac, you're just a sojourner. You're just kind of wandering. When we get into back to Hebrews, we see that they lived in tents, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They never really had a nice homestead. They never really had a nice place that they built. They were camping. Now, some of you might really enjoy that, camping, the camping life. Or maybe you think, when I retire, we're going to sell our house, we're going to get a camper, and we're going to camp. But they didn't have those. They had tents. Okay, so they weren't glamping. Okay, they were camping in their tents. But what they had was the promise of God and the presence of God in their life. And so here it says, I will bless you. I will give you these lands. I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. What I said in the past is going to come true. That's the kind of God that we serve. When he makes a promise, it is certain. It will come to pass. He's shown that so many times in the scriptures. And so when we think about the promise that Jesus will come back for us, that has not happened yet, but we know that it will. Because God keeps his promises. He says, I will establish this. I'm going to be faithful as I was to your father who trusted in me, Isaac. I'm going to be faithful to you. Same thing with you sitting right here this morning. As God was faithful to our parents, grandparents, Christians who have come before us, He will still be faithful to you and to me. He's a faithful God. He says in verse 4, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven. And I was just telling someone about the dark sky park up in Mackinac City, out west of town, the dark sky park. I don't know a good time to go there. It's beautiful. I've been there. If you go in the summertime to Mackinac and you go on the west side there, you're looking across Lake Michigan, it doesn't get dark until like 11 o'clock because you're looking towards the west and it's just the lake and it's just the sun and you're waiting for the sky to get dark so you can see the stars. Been there. I've been there and done that. You could go right now, except it's freezing. You could go like 6 o'clock this evening if you want to go, but anyway, those stars in the sky, God made them. The Bible tells he just breathed them out. He just spoke, and there's these billions of trillions of stars, and they're beautiful, and they're organized, and they guide sailors because God made them that way. And here he tells Isaac, your children's children's children will be as many as the stars of heaven. Try to count the stars that God made. You can't do it. And you won't be able to count how many children will be in your family. That, by the way, how many sons or children does Isaac have at this time? 2. He just has 2. That's pretty easy to count. You know, I have 2 kids. They're pretty easy to count. He says, your offspring will be more than the stars of the sky, even though you only have 2 right now. And I will give to your offspring all these lands. And that's true. You know, there are no Philistine towns today in Israel. There are no towns owned by, controlled by the Philistines. The land of Israel is the land of Israel. So that promise has already begun to come true. And in your offspring, I'm still in verse 4, but at the bottom of the verse, and in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And now this sounds very specific about not just many children, but one. That in a son, in an offspring that will come from your family line, Isaac, all of the families, all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Here you have the gospel. This is the gospel that we preach. This is why we support missionaries who can go and tell people around the world that Jesus is the way of salvation, that there is no other name given among under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can go to all parts of the world and find believers in Christ. Isn't that cool? That they speak different languages and they have different customs and cultures. But there is one great, 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 great grandson of Isaac who was the Messiah, the Savior of the world, born of a virgin, but in that family, God's family that he made in Israel, and the nations of the world are being blessed through that son. That's the gospel given to us here in Genesis. 4,000 years before Christ? At least 2,000 years. Ask Pastor Matt. He can tell you how many years. All right, verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And I kind of ran into this verse. This verse kind of, I don't want to say I stubbed my toe on it, but I'm so used to preaching about the sovereignty of God and how God is the one who works and we trust in him and our works aren't really what's important. We're not saved by our works. We're only saved by grace, that God would offer us salvation, and it's by faith we trust in him. It's not by works, lest we should boast. And yet, here we see in verse 5 that Abraham obeyed God. And I think this is what I want to tell you, that these are not opposites. They're combined together. They're friends. That when you trust God, if you trust God, you will obey him. Now, you don't obey him so you get salvation, but if you believe in God and you believe he's the Savior of the world and the Creator of the world, if you believe in him, you will follow him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They don't just go the other way. And so here, Abraham, his faith is evidenced by the way that he lived. That he didn't just say, well, yes, I believe in you, God. He actually lived that out. He obeyed what God said, kept his charge, kept his commandments, his statutes, and his laws. So let's get the order right, though, first. God initiated this plan. Abraham didn't come up with the plan of salvation or the future of sending Jesus. That's God's plan. So it starts with God. But Abraham received it. He responded to it. And that's the right order. God offers you salvation, and you accept it and live for him. Right? You don't start living for God and hope that you are good enough to be saved. That's backwards. No one can live for God and be saved. You have to receive what God has sent to you in salvation in his son. So God initiated the covenant. Abraham believed and he obeyed God. What did he do? Okay, think with me here. Abraham is back there in his homeland of Ur, and God reveals himself to Abraham. And Abraham says, I believe in you. And God says, go to this land I'm going to show you. And what does Abraham do? He follows. Or else they're not in the promised land. Or else will there be an Isaac or a Jacob? But Abraham does what God has said. And he follows him. He went where God called him. He was willing to offer Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice. We just see Abraham taking steps of obedience, showing that he is a true believer in God. We find the same language in Deuteronomy 11, where love for God is meant to compel God's people to obey him. So in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1, it says this, you shall therefore love the Lord your God. Okay, you're right. This is a command. You shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, his commandments, just as Abraham did. But the order is God gives this to you. You love him and obey him. He wants you to obey him from your heart. Or we would say it this way, from the inside out. That you say, God, I love you. What would please you? What would bring you glory? What would honor you? Because I love you. I'm not saying, well, I guess I gotta go to church. I should probably read my Bible. Okay? That doesn't sound, that'd be like if I showed up with chocolate-covered strawberries for Michelle, and I said, I know you like these, so they had them on sale. I picked up a couple. I'm your husband. I'm supposed to bring you chocolate candy sometime. There you go. I mean, now maybe she'd be fine with that, you know? Maybe she'd be like, hey, you know how this chocolate-covered strawberries, you know? But that doesn't seem like it's from love. That seems like, well, that's my duty. Here's, I'm supposed to do this. So. God says, love me and obey me and follow me and please me. But do it from your heart. Love me first and then obey. Abraham obeyed God, and Isaac and his family received the blessings. God blessed Abraham because he lived out his faith. In a parallel way, Jesus obeyed and fulfilled all of God's commands. So we see that Abraham obeyed God, but let's look at Jesus. He came, he obeyed God in every way. He perfectly fulfilled all of God's requirements. Jesus, who of course loved the Heavenly Father, was faithful to obey him. And because of that, blessings come to us. So we love God and we obey him. That obedience is evidence of your faith. 1 John chapter 2 says, and by this we know we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. Wow, that's a strong passage. That's a strong verse. Say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I mean, I don't do anything that God says. I just kind of do whatever I want. But I'm a Christian. John says here in 1 John 2, 3, and 4, if you say, I know God, but you don't obey him, you don't follow him, you're lying. You don't really know God, because someone who knows him wants to follow him. Okay, do we do that perfectly? No, we fall short along the way, but we get back up and we keep trying. We get back up and we say, Lord, I just failed you, and I'm sorry. I confess that sin, but I want to try to follow you. I want you to lead me in my life. Well, this is what Abraham did, and he was blessed. So let's look at three lessons. Number one, we already talked about, suffering will come. These are the first people. God is speaking directly to these people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's speaking directly to them. And yet, they're suffering. There are hard things that we will go through. A famine is hard for us to imagine. Because if we don't have milk, or we don't have bread or creamer for the coffee, we can just go to the store. We can go to Ken's or Walmart or Meijer. We can go. They ship in truckloads of food. And so it's hard for us to imagine a famine being difficult. But we do have inflation. We have layoffs. We have times of illness or injury. I have run out of gas and had to walk once or twice with Michelle. She was sweet about it, but still, we had to walk. Have you ever had a flat tire? Do you know how much it costs to get a tow truck these days? Have a flat tire. That's inconvenient. That is suffering. Or you go out and your car won't start, and it's cold. It's always cold when that happens, right? And we have these kinds of sufferings. Or maybe you have a loved one that is sick, very sick. And you can say, but I'm trusting you, Lord, and that person is a Christian, and why are they going through a hard thing? God uses hard things in our lives. He used it in Abraham's life, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. And he'll use it in your life. He'll use suffering, he'll use hard things to bring you closer to him, to let your faith shine like gold, to be an example and an encouragement to others. And those things might not happen if you don't suffer first. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you or that he's not with you. He loved Lazarus in the New Testament, the book of John chapter 11. The Lord loved Lazarus and he let him die. And 4 days later, he comes and Lazarus' family are crying and they're kind of blaming Jesus, saying, if you would have been here, we know you can heal people, but now he's gone. And Jesus says, but I am the resurrection and the life. And he raises Lazarus from the dead. And he shows them that, yes, he suffered, but his suffering brought glory to God. And other people are seeing it. And other people are coming to Christ and being saved because Lazarus suffered. Let's look at number two. God will be with you. So this is the good news. This is being a Christian. Being a Christian does not mean never any more problems. Never going to be short of money. Never going to be sick again. Never going to have a relationship with a difficulty. That's not being a Christian. Being a Christian means you will suffer, but you'll have God with you. The very presence of God. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says, you can trust me. I'm going to be right there with you. Like he tells Isaac, sojourn where you are. You just stay where you are because I am here with you. And if I want to move you someplace, I'll let you know. Suffering. There was a head thump there. That'd be painful. God's presence will be with you. Do you ever struggle with that? With saying, boy, if I was just somewhere else, I would be happier. Well, God can do that. God, in fact, God brought you here. It was God brought you here. You're here because God brought you here, I believe. Or God could move you and keep you somewhere else, but he says, Isaac, you just stay where you are. I'm with you. I'm here with you. And if it's ever time for you to move and go somewhere, I'll let you know. I will guide you. I will leave you. Moses gets it. Later on, years later, Moses wants to go into the promised land. He wants to go to the promised land, but he tells the Lord, I only want to go if you're there, if you're going with us. Moses prays to the Lord in Exodus 33, if your presence will not go with me, then do not bring us up there. But it's the promised land, Moses. It's where you're supposed to be. It's the land flowing with milk and honey, pizza, nachos. That's not in the Hebrew, but he's saying, Moses wants to go. The people of Israel want to go. They want to go to the promised land. But Moses says, pump the brakes here. I only will go if God is leading me there. If God is going with us, then let's go. But if God doesn't want us to go yet, then let's stay here and wait. Let God lead us. I don't want to go without God. I don't want to go without God. His presence is with those who are with him. His spirit lives in us. In the New Testament, we are called to walk in him, to walk in Christ Jesus, to be led by his spirit one step at a time. And as a Christian, you've accepted Christ. He is with you. Let him lead you. Number three, finally, obedience brings blessing. So New Testament, what you sow, you will reap. In other words, what you plant, you will harvest. If you plant apple seeds, you're not going to get pumpkins, right? What you sow is what you will reap. And that's true in our life. The way that we live matters. Now, it's all by God's grace. If we walk in him and we obey him and we serve him, it's with the grace that he gives us. But as you serve him, he blesses you. He does bless you. Like Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, whoever hears these words of mine and does them will be like a person who builds their house on the rock. If you're hearing God's word and you're following him, then your life has this stability that God is with you. You're building your life on him and his words. And when trials come and the storms come, the rains come down and the floods go up, the house of your life will stand firm. There's a blessing promise for living your life the way God gives. Try it the other way. Try saying, I will not follow God. I will do what I want because I just want to be happy. I don't see people who are happy that live that way. They always need something more to make them high or to get them through or something more exciting or more and more. They always need more and more because God, he's the only one that's enough for us. Obedience will bring blessing. So we cannot obey God until we first accept him as our Savior. And as I close in prayer, I will ask you that. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, because that's the first step of obedience, that you say, I have been a sinner and I need you to forgive me and save me. But once you have trusted in Christ, then his Spirit lives in you, pours his love into your heart, and leads you to obey the Lord. God is with us. We just celebrated Christmas where we learned that Jesus is Emmanuel. They will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. What a blessing that as we live, God is with us. Would you stand together with me? We'll pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that trials come, but you are with us. And give us that strength to obey you and receive your blessing. Lord, I ask now anyone that is here this morning or they're following us on Facebook, if they have not trusted in Christ as their Savior, that this would be the day that they would turn away from their sin and say, I believe, Jesus, you died for me, you rose again, and I'm asking you to be my Savior. We pray for anyone that might want to call on your name right now to be saved. And Father, for us who have trusted in you, may we obey you. May we trust you in the hard times, knowing that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together.